नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय service. स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपुरांतिकं हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते रक्ष कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय जगद्गुरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओम श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणी हरे कृष्ण. So continuing with the song which is sung by Lord Shiva, which are his prayers to the Supreme Lord, there are a few very interesting aspects to the whole section. But before we get into the verse itself, just trying to understand one of the points where in many of these verses, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, and the verses which we are having now, where certain explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam sound very lofty or very, it's hard to practically believe in our day-to-day lives, you know, how can someone be in charge of the mind, not of your individual mind, but of every living entity's mind, which is Lord Aniruddha, and how in the previous verse which mentions, and how can Ananta as well as Sankarshan, just by their ability to the blazing fire, can finish not just a planet, which itself is too much to think of, but the whole creation. Imagine a being is there, he expands, he throws some fire and the whole creation finishes. The whole creation, even in the kids' cartoons, they don't show, but there's too much to show that also, that the whole creation is finished by someone just throwing some fire. So, some statements are little difficult to digest. Unless we submit ourselves completely or fully to Srimad Bhagavatam and the descriptions, it explains. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which we all know is just glorifying pure devotional service. It's not talking about any other aspect. But it does talk about many situations or pastimes or explanations from any Vedic scriptures which are also helping in understanding pure devotional service. You know, in Bhagavatam there is one place, one of the teenagers, young boys, couldn't handle this one point, that how can you are telling me to follow certain scriptures which are saying that there are eagles flying planet to planet and for their food they eat elephants. This is too much to handle. So because I cannot handle that, I reject the whole philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhakti Yoga. So many of us, especially so many people coming to the temple, especially from Indian background, they very openly say, I believe in Krishna. And that's why our Janmashtami has 10,000, 12,000 people visiting. And then we see many people not from Indian background also say, I believe in God. But believing in God or believing in Krishna is very different to believe in words of Krishna or believing in words of God. So that makes the major difference, and that's what Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is about. Personally, for me, if I say, yeah, I believe in Krishna, but to believe in Krishna's words totally, completely, I can't claim, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this place is Dukhalyam Shashvatam. It's a place of misery. Personally, for me, I know that I'm trying to enjoy it. That means I haven't put my complete faith in Krishna's words. I am publicly declare that yes, I am Krishna's devotee because I have Shikha and I have Buddha on my head and I have Adhoti Gupta, an elephant temple, but when it comes to his words, where is the complete faith? Where is the 100% acceptance? If you accept something 100%, you just follow it, basically. You just don't try to enjoy this place, which is Dukhala, which is place of misery, and whatever little pleasure is there, that's also temporary. Once there was a man, gymnastic person. And this gymnast, he was carrying his own son on his shoulder. And between, from one building to another building, which was hundreds of feet above the ground, there was a rope and he was walking on that rope. And there were people watching this show. They paid money to come and watch this show. So now this man is walking, he has a son, 7-8 years old, on his shoulder, and is walking on that rope, balancing and slowly walking. And the whole crowd is just mesmerized because he's not just putting his life at stake, he's putting his son's life also at stake. So this guy slowly goes from one building and gradually reaches the another building. And the crowd is cheering, you're the best, you can do it, yeah, amazing. And the son is happy, the father is happy. Then the father shouts from the building, do you guys think I can go back from this building back to the building I came from successfully? Everyone is shouting, yeah, we can bet on you, we trust you, very successfully you did, your balance was perfect. You too. You even didn't worry about your son's life. We know we are confident about you, you can do it. Then he shouted, you all believe in me, you all trust that I can go back. Will any one of you come and sit on my shoulder when I walk back? And there was silence. Because that's faith. To speak is one thing, but to put faith, determined faith, which Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about, Shraddha, that complete faith, that Shraddha Shabda Vishwas Kaila Sudhira Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Kritavai. That faith in Krishna, that Sudhira Nishchaya, that complete Nishtha, that complete faith in Krishna, that just when I do devotional service to Krishna, everything else is taken care of. All the other duties are fulfilled. All other desires done, all other achievements done. In one of the purports which we'll read ahead, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Vedic scriptures are not talking about how to take care of your existence. That's not the subject matter, how to maintain yourself. That will happen anyway. It's talking about something else. You'll read that later. I was thinking, well, when we read certain sections which are not just talking about human dealings on a day-to-day level, but later which is talking about something which is beyond, then it can make it a little hard for us who do believe in Krishna but not his words 100% to put our full faith in. But the benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam, which it promises, comes to the devotees like us when the graph of that trust of the faith goes higher and higher and higher. Of course, when we're meeting new people, we can't expect this faith. We just talk about developing their faith by using science, by using logic. You know, if you're meeting and speaking to people outside, science is the authority, and you try and connect our spiritual knowledge with that authority to make sense to them. But when we are with devotees, if still that is the mindset, that means it's a problem. You know, Prabhupada used to say in one of the lectures I was hearing, he was saying that previously if someone makes a statement, other person would say, is it Veda Vakya? Is it a statement from the Vedas that has accepted as authority? But now you say that, who will accept that statement as authority? If someone makes a statement outside the world and you say, is it from Vedas? Is it an authoritative statement? Then you will hear arguments like, who has written Vedas? How do you know Vedas are written? How do you know this was all existing? This is all man-made, and on and on and on. Now, currently, This scientist has said this is the research, that's the stats, that is the authority. But when we are with devotees, when we are in a community of devotees, then Bhagavatam and Vedic scriptures should be the authority. That means our 100% faith goes in the scriptures. And subject matters which are very difficult to understand should be taken with a humble will that I am not qualified to understand it. Not that the scriptures are too lofty or too much imagination is put in, a very poetic imagination is put in. So, with that attitude or with that approach, we'll try and see a little bit in this verse which Lord Shiva is glorifying the Supreme Lord. So, here something very interesting has happened, which is even the Lord Shiva is glorifying the Supreme Lord as soon as he comes in contact with the Prachetas. But this is actually the glorification of Lord Shiva himself, and which we have heard in many previous classes, and we will not get too much into that. But isn't it amazing that the Prachetas did not pray to Lord Shiva? They were not chanting Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, and Lord Shiva appeared. They actually didn't even think about Lord Shiva. They just followed their father Prachini Bhari and went for austerities to fulfill his desire to create progeny. And Lord Shiva, being out of his compassion, comes and meets these Prachetas to help and guide them. But in previous verses, in the same chapter, verse 27, 28, 29, in that area, you will see that Lord Shiva is telling these Prachetas that you are very pious. You are very great souls. And that's why I am here to help you achieve your goal. Help you do devotional service to the Supreme Lord following your father's instructions. So, it's exactly like a guru coming without even asking and helping the qualified souls. Well, I was reading the previous translations and how amazing Lord Shiva's approach is towards Prachetas. Immediately, Srila Prabhupada comes in mind that he did the same, but he went far beyond what Lord Shiva did. He didn't go in search for pious souls at all. Otherwise, maybe one or two people will be in Bhagavatam now. And maybe, I don't know if the temple was there or not, they would be there or not. But Srila Prabhupada went in search of anyone sincere, who's not even interested in searching for Guru. Many people didn't even know that they need a Guru. They just wanted some connection with God. They were a little bit inclined towards knowledge of God. Somebody were not inclined. With his arguments, with his devotion, with his logic, he presented Krishna in such a way that it made sense to them. It is said that a pure devotee has such a compassion that he doesn't go and gives his hand to help people to come up. That means that he has to be in his own comfortable position and he gives his helping hand to someone to rise above. Rather, a pure devotee goes to the level of the people and pushes them up. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. He did not sit in his palatial temples or even in Vrindavan and just send some literatures out, whoever is sincere, come to me and meet me in Vrindavan, the holy place. He actually went to that level and practically pushed his disciples out. Which very clearly indicates that he has shown a step ahead of Lord Shiva in terms of compassion. Of course, Lord Shiva is very compassionate. He is saving ghosts and goblins. That's where is piety in that, but at least in this pastime if we see. So, a guide, a guru, or someone who has much more experience than us is very much required for our spiritual progress. For us, we are very fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada, his appearance today is coming. I thought some little glorification in this connection. Once there was a, uh, there,
There was a marriage fixed between two villages.
So one boy from one village and girl from another village.
So now this boy side was coming to girl's village to get the girl and just take back home to their village. So but the boy side, now the girl side, they wanted to test, are these people from the boy's side, from that village, do they have any connections with superior personalities or guru or guide on them, so our daughter will be protected and safe in that village? If any problem comes, will she be guided well? So what they did, they purposefully made a condition that marriage will only happen, I will only give our daughter if no elder from your village will come for the marriage. Only younger generation should come for the marriage. So now, so they agreed. So they told all the elders, all the experienced person in the village, you will not come for the marriage, only is the young ones will go and get the girl. There was one very intelligent person, very old intelligent person, very experienced elderly person in the village. He started insisting. He said, I will go, I will not stay back. I will go. They said, no, this is the condition, you cannot go. They said, no, I'll hide in the cart, I'll not come out. If any problem, let me know, but let me go. I sense something here. So they agreed to him and he was hiding in the cart. They all went, the whole younger generation went to get the girl, the whole, you know, all the music and dance, and they entered the place and the father of the girl stopped. Wait, you cannot take the girl. There is one condition. The condition is that we want you to fill the river in our village with milk. The whole flowing river should be filled with milk, and then we'll give our girl to you. And that's the condition. And now this boy, who's so excited about his marriage, is kind of panicking. How is it possible? How to fill a flowing river with milk? It's not possible. And they said, that's the condition. If you can fulfill, take the girl. Otherwise, go back home to your village. So now the all younger boys all came together, started planning what to do, how much we empty the water, the previous water, the other water will come in, how do we do it? And they spent all their brains, and then one of them suggested, hey, our grandfather is there outside. The whole village comes to take guidance from him. Why don't we take guidance from him? The boy who was supposed to get married, he said, he's useless, you know, what old man, how will he know? He can't even help us take a bucket of water out. What is the use? Don't worry about him. They started planning again. Okay, if there's a machine which can suck the water out, but how much ever you take the water out, the flow of the river is so much, it will again fill, the bank will fill again. Can we put a dam? But the boy said, I can't wait for a dam to be put, I want to get married. So one of the person from the group sneaked out without telling, and he went to the old person. He said, this is the problem. He said, come on, it's a simple problem, simple solution. What is the difficulty? Just go and tell the girl side that we have arranged the milk to fill the river. You just empty your river and we will fill the milk in the river. We have arranged all the thousands and thousands of liters of milk. You just get it empty and then we fill the river. So he said, oh, we didn't think about that as an idea. So he went running toward and told the girl's father. And the girl father started laughing and smiling. He said, you have passed the test. You have faith on your elders, on your experienced elders. That was the test. So they basically just wanted to, they wanted to test. So, you know, you see this now in this world, there is a lot of glorification of self-made man, self-made woman, self-made billionaires, Australia's top 10 millionaires, self-made. The word self-made is highlighted so much. How is it possible? What is self-made? Hundreds of people must have helped them in their lives, including their own parents. But the name is self-made. Even if people would have cheated them, that was also a help. They learned from that.
And
a lot of glorification is given about self-made, self-made.
And no one considers the super soul within giving you ideas and directing you in your life to take decisions which makes you popular or rich or famous. You know, you put that self-made same person in a room without any education from childhood alone and see how much self-made millionaire he becomes. Nothing will happen. It's just such a neglect of a guru in life is there, of an experienced teacher or a guide in life is there. And people just want to claim all the glories to themselves. But we see from Srimad Bhagavatam, from so many pastimes, not even a single pastime is there where it's talking about a self-made, self-realized soul. It's not there, it cannot happen. Whether it's a material journey or spiritual journey, nothing is there self-made. You just can't be. It's not possible. So here, we see, in this pastime, Lord Shiva has come, practically speaking, for the rescue of very sincere prachetas, who are very sincere souls, to help them get their goal achieved. So, Srila Prabhupada, in one of the lectures in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th verse, 25th chapter, verse number 12, which also talks about similar subject matter, which is going towards liberation, apavarga. Now, if in the whole theme of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the whole theme of Vedic scriptures actually, or the whole Sanatana Dharma, the Vedic culture, there is a lot of stress given on exit. Or a major stress is given on exiting and how you exit this world. But our current culture doesn't think about exit much. There is no concept of how to exit. This is one life, enjoy hard as much as you can. This is one opportunity, enjoy as much as you can. Recently in IIT, which is one of the biggest institutes in India and one of the most famous in the whole world, one boy, he committed suicide and he wrote an 8-page letter before committing suicide. And then in the letter, he had written something very interesting. He told, "I am from the best school, with the best people around me, but I know I am a failure. I had best situation around me, I had best facilities around me, but I know I am a failure." So he told his friends, he had some very good friends. He said, he wrote names of his friends and he said, "It's one life, there is nothing after that, make the best use of it and don't get job in IT." That's what he wrote. But he repeated this one life. You have one life, enjoy it to the fullest. And this guy, just after 5 minutes, will realize it's not one life. Because after committing suicide, he'll be entering hellish planets. He'll suffer and then take another life, birth after birth after birth. Just no knowledge, no guidance. So the people, then you know, when people give reactions on such news, so one guy is putting a reaction that, "Can't parents teach their kids that money is not everything? You can be happy with 5,000 rupees, which is $100 a month, and la 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 la." But no one talks about exiting. No one talks about how to perfect your exit. How to live your life in such a way that you exit very successfully. Because the whole concept is, this life, enjoy as much as you can. So, you know, if you make a new house, you don't make door just to enter the house. You have door to exit also. You have an idea in your head, you know, that this is a place which should encourage exiting. You know, there must be doors for emergency exits also. Any public place, there are emergency exits also. In any structure, you see, exit is also stressed. You know, in what we say, when someone is taking Ayurvedic treatment, Ayurvedic treatment is mostly depending on how you clear yourself, not what you intake. Because the treatment is how successfully, how nicely you clean yourself. Evacuation, basically. So, this is one point. You know, if someone with their wife goes to see a new house, it's not that you just go and see kitchen, how nice it is, and come back. One actually checks that the toilet is also good or not. Because it's very important. Acceptance and renunciation are both very important. You intake and you have to give up also. It's very important. So the whole material creation is designed in such a way that you accept in such a way that your rejection, when you have to give up, is successfully done. And when our acceptance is overloaded, then that disturbs our giving up, our renunciation side. So the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see, or the Vedic science, or the whole culture was to teach us how to intake or how to enjoy the material world in such a way that when it comes time to give up this material world, that can be done successfully. So this is a very nice learning from Ayurveda. You eat in such a way that you're not disturbed, because disease will come. If exiting is not happening properly, if you're not clearing yourself properly, then disease comes. So material disease is also dependent on that. Material disease also comes based on that. When stress is not given on liberation, when stress is not given on how successfully we exit the world, that human perfection is achieved. So, in the purport, it talks about how there is a verse which is just a translation quoted from Bhagavad Gita. It says, "Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna." So it says that all the Vedic scriptures are just encouraging or talking about how to successfully operate in the three modes of material nature. But certain scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam emphasizes on liberation, on how to rise above these three modes of material nature, how to perfect our liberation. So, in scriptures we have heard there are five kinds of liberation. Anyone else? You know, any type of liberation? Sayujya Mukti. What does it mean? Sayujya Mukti, first liberation. Sayujya Mukti. What does it mean? Anyone can tell? No pressure on the kids alone. Sayujya Mukti. No, merging with the Supreme Lord. Then next? Sarupya Mukti. What is that? Well, it's very simple. The meaning of the word itself is someone who is familiar with Sanskrit, little bit will know. Huh? Sarupa. Similar form as Supreme Lord. Third? Samipya. Huh? What does that mean? Samipya? Living in close proximity. Samipya. Huh? With the Supreme Lord. Fourth? Salokya. Salok. Living on the same loka or same planet of the Supreme Lord. The fifth one? Sayujya was first one. Sarshti. What does that mean? Correct. Having same opulence as the Supreme Lord. So these five kinds of liberation are there. You can have the same opulence as the Supreme Lord. You can live on the same planet with the Supreme Lord. You can live very near to the Supreme Lord. You can have same form as the Supreme Lord. And the fifth one, which devotees are least interested in, is that you can merge in God, basically. You as energy, merging in the Supreme Energy. You as light, merging in the Supreme Light. So that's Sayujya Mukti.
But here, in the purport, if you see, Prabhupada writes, there are different kinds of liberation of mukti. The best mukti is engagement in devotional service of the Supreme Lord, which is not even implied. That's why Rupa Goswami said that devotees are not interested in liberation, in any kind of five liberations. Even though if someone is on the planet of the Supreme Lord or near the Supreme Lord or having same form as the Supreme Lord, will naturally serve the Lord, will naturally perform devotional service. But the aspiration of a devotee is not to achieve these kinds of liberation, rather the aspiration of a devotee is to achieve perfection in devotional service. We were celebrating one of the devotees' birthday. I told before also. And there was one proper disciple, one sannyasi was there also. In that, while we were cutting a cake for one devotee, and we were praying, may Krishna bless you, Hare Krishna to you, may you never take birth again, may you never take birth again. And immediately Maharaj stopped. He said, a devotee never prays like that. He said, a devotee does not pray that I don't want to take birth again. What if Krishna wants to take birth again and preach and serve him in material world? So that was okay, that was striking. May you never take birth again. He stopped immediately. He said, no. If pure devotional service has to be achieved, even this desire has to go. The only desire is, Krishna, I want to serve you, I want to do seva for you, if you want, in spiritual world, if not, here. So like that. So these are the five liberations, the apavarga, which Srila Prabhupada is talking about. But the interesting contrast is, other from apavarga is pavarga. Pavarga, this is how letters are divided, kavarga, chavarga, pavarga in Sanskrit or Hindi. So in pavarga there is pa. Anyone knows? Ha?
Ha.
Ba. Ha. Ma. So this is the way letters are like A, B, C, D. So in Sanskrit or Hindi, that's how the letters are. So ka, kha, ga, ha, na. Like that. Not very good with it. Pavarga, I memorized. Sa. Pa. Pa. Ba. Bha. Ma. So what does pa stand for?
Parishram.
Hard labor. So we begin with pa. Prabhupada actually writes in the forward. You begin with pa and you finish with ma. So parishram, very hard labor. We begin with hard labor. If you're a student, you have to study very hard. In college, very hard. Working, very hard. What happens when you work very hard, too much of parishram, over endeavor in working hard? What is pa?
Fena.
Foam comes out of your mouth. Like interesting how it's described. You get fena, you get foam. When you're working crazy hard, you get exhausted. And someone can say, take a drink. But when you're working very hard, you're not interested in anything else. Once I was coming from city to temple, I met one boy. He was looking quite old and pretty worn out, you know, literally. And then I asked him, where are you going? I thought he was coming to temple because that's the direction he's coming to. But he was going to St. Kilda for his job. This was 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I was also coming from my work. Then he said, do you know? Then I told him, I'm from temple, I come to temple. He's from Gujarat or somewhere, I don't know from where. So this guy told me that this is 7 o'clock today evening. So I'm going for a night shift straight away. Then morning I come back at 6. Then 7 to afternoon 5 I have another shift. Then again similar routine, like 7 o'clock I have night shift. Then next day 6 I finish. Then I have break for 3 hours and then 9 to 3 I have another job and then I will sleep. I said, when did you sleep last? He said, 2 days back. So this is 4 days in a row. 4 days in a row with no sleep, no break. And he was looking like only skin and bone, very emaciated. Then I asked him, how old are you?
it, honestly, in my mind, I was thinking he must be 45 to 46, 33. He's just pushing. What happened? Once you get sick, fan up. Too much parishra, too much of over endeavor, you know. Boys?
Bandhan.
Bandhan, or Srila Prabhupada in his Bengali says, Vyartha. Vyartha means?
Waste.
It becomes useless. We will also say waste, we will not say waste. Vyartha, it's waste. What happens when so much of endeavor happens and that goes in vain, and that goes wasted because it doesn't give you happiness which you are thinking about? Is why so much parishram or hard work happens which leads to exhaustion or faena is that we are seeking happiness out of it, and when we don't get it, it becomes waste. When health goes down, relationship goes down, life is completely wrecked. That completely is a useless endeavor. Then, with all the accumulation we have, we end up in by fear. Fear of losing what we have, fear of what is around us, what's future am I waiting for. This IIT boy I was talking about who committed suicide. You know, even if this boy passes with a minimum score, he'll get a very good job because he's from IIT, one of the best institutes in India. And this guy commits suicide because he thinks his life is worth, has gone wasted. His life is a waste now. And then bhai, what future holds for me, is much bigger than the bhai of committing suicide or the fear of committing suicide. That fear of what will happen in future to me is a bigger fear. In one of the lectures I was hearing, Radhana Swami was saying that people who commit suicide, they are in so much pain, that they think that committing suicide will also give me pain, but that pain will be one time and very short. They don't, of course, don't know what's going to happen after that, but they feel it's one time I jump from the 7th floor, 10th floor, bang, that 5 minutes one or 2 minutes I will just suffer in pain extremely, but day after day, pain, how will I handle it? I had a very good friend, he's still there in London. We came back from catering, a very exhaustive catering. Night we reached 12:30, 1 o'clock, and he just called me, crying, shouting, crying. He was studying in Melbourne Uni, he was staying in Melbourne Uni. What happened? My elder brother committed suicide, you come home now. To his apartment. I was just about to collapse, but I said, this situation is like, I have to go. This is 1 o'clock in the night. Then I took a car alone, I went, I just told you what is, just be in touch with me because I myself are exhausted. If something happens, just be in contact. So I went to him and he was just howling and shouting. Naturally, his elder brother had committed suicide. Then I asked, what happened? He said, everything was going good, so much money. He was making business, but the girl he wanted to get married got married somewhere else. And this guy committed suicide. Why? Because the pain of separation which he was feeling from that girl, which would have anyways ended after getting married in few weeks or months, that extreme attachment which he was feeling would have anyways finished or faded away. Now this person committed suicide because he thought, and he did it in not a very simple way, no? Like hanging from the fan is not very easy. It takes some time. By the time you die. But he did it. No extreme stress, no anxiety, no pressure. Just on the spot he found out she got married somewhere else. Finished. By fear. And when that is there, you have to end up with ma, which is the last, which is mrityu, which is death. So the whole material creation, all the people, all the successful people whom we are very much attached and charmed by this so-called self-made billionaires, are just in the category of pa-pa-pa-ma. The pavarga. Hard endeavor, then exhaustion, then life. Anyways useless, any spiritualist can tell life is useless. and then always in fear, always in fear, and then death comes, finishes the chapter.
Whereas what we are talking about is not pavarga. What Srila Prabhupada or Bhagavatam is encouraging is apavarga, which is do not worry about this condition, rather worry about the exit. So I'll read one purport and we'll finish there. And it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada, in a very casual way, because it's a lecture, he says, why are you worried about your maintenance? He's like, what is the need? I'll read that. So this is from Bhagavatam 3rd canto. This is Lord Kapila's teachings to his mother Devahuti. So the translation goes, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions. And thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. So now Srila Prabhupada is giving lecture on this verse. So here it is called Apavarga Vardhanam. How to increase interest in liberation. People have become so dull that they do not understand what is the meaning of liberation. They do not understand. Just like animals. If an animal is informed that there is liberation, what he will understand? He will not understand. It is not possible for him. Similarly, at the present moment, the human society has become exactly like animals. They do not know what is the meaning of apavarga or liberation. They do not know. But time was there when people understood that this human life is meant for apavarga, liberation. To cease from the business of pa, ha, ba, ba and ma. That is called apavarga vardhanam. So the question made by Devahuti and the answers which were given by Kapila Dev, that is apavarga vardhanam, that is wanted. This is the instruction of the whole Vedas. Tasyaya heta prajateta kovida. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. From liberation, apavarga, everyone would try, everyone should try his best. And what about my maintenance? To maintenance, the Shastras never give any stress. That you try for maintenance. Shastra says, it will come. It's already there, it will come. But we will have no such faith that God is giving. He is giving food to the animals, to the birds, to the beasts, to the trees, everyone. Why he shall not give me? Let me engage my time for apavarga, liberation. They have no faith. They have no such education. Therefore, good association is required. Not the crow's association, but swan's association. Then this sense comes. Prabhupada ki first of all, any questions or comments on that? Yes, Lord.
The birth this song you sang, will you never take birth again? So what's the modified version of it?
So that you always take leave service again. May you never stop serving again. Something like that. Good for me. I need help. Sir, birthday songs are good for me. Yes, for you.
Come in. The whole current situation, governments, the education institutions, and the corporates are all bringing the whole population to work, Just get them in GDP.
Yeah.
It's all about creating labor class.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. So it's like big so-called leaders, you know, come up capitalist. Jack Ma, you know, Alibaba, so he puts up posts every day. How you have to work hard 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day, just to achieve something you want. Just a brainwashing.
Yeah. So government, this big corporates are very smartly encouraging people. And these institutions also have actually ingrained in the students or the generation now that nothing can come unless there is hard labor done. But Srila Prabhupada actually gives four categories. It's very interesting. He says, that there is unintelligent lazy, intelligent lazy, then there is unintelligent busy and intelligent busy. So Srila Prabhupada says that devotees have to become intelligent lazy. What does that mean? Is he says intelligent lazy means a brahmana. What that means is that he is very intelligent in engaging people based on their nature, and so that the human goal is also achieved while their nature is also satisfied. But he himself is not over endeavoring while he is doing that. Rather, he is interested in upper varga or attaining liberation. So that's lazy intelligent. If he is busy intelligent, then he'll also be laboring hard, and he'll be guiding people also. But he'll be busy, but not achieve his spiritual goals. So first I read, I thought answer must be busy intelligent. The best must be busy intelligent. But Prabhupada explains, no, it's lazy intelligent. But here the lazy he means is that he's lazy with material affairs. But he is very intelligent on how to engage people so that they also achieve their perfection. Because there are people who are administrative class, kshatriyas, then working class, laborers, shudras, and then business class, which is vaishyas. So a brahmana's duty is to engage them based on their nature, guide them, this is what you do, this is what you do. But he himself saves his time for apavarga, for liberation. And those people whom he is engaging, once they are also in their nature and they advance within their own capacities, then they also get the path of liberation. But current society is just focusing on one point. Unintelligent busy. Unintelligent busy. That's hard work, hard labor. What has Japan given? Japan is one of the most hardest working societies. It is suicide capital of the world, basically. You know, group suicide in Japan. There are banned websites where people go and they connect with each other, and groups of boys, they come together, they tie themselves within the car, they leave the gas open in the car, start the car, go under the lift, and just in a group, huh? It's like, let's go for a group swimming, or a group sport, or a group hiking. There is very popular group suicide in Japan. Group suicide. Too much of faena, too much of exhaustion from hard labor. So this is what they want the whole world to walk towards. In India, the like Bangalore, which is suicide capital of India, where most of the corporate sector is placed, which is now spreading out also. And the people, there is such a demand of you to work hard that suicide is so rampant. It's just amazing. And suicide has become so popular. So easily people just give it away, or give up. This is India. Bangalore is actually a pretty cultured place. It's not an atheistic place where people don't believe in God. It's pretty cultured, but doesn't matter. The hard labor is too much to handle. M comes quickly. M comes before B, everyone. Mithu comes before very quickly. Anything else? Yes, sir.
There are some pastimes, I think, where some devotees have committed suicide because they couldn't bear the separation. So how is that justified?
So there are pastimes where devotees have committed suicide because they could not bear separation from the Supreme Lord. And here we see, we are talking about suicide and criticizing that. So when we are talking about those devotees who have committed suicide in separation from Supreme Lord, there are two things in it. First thing is, when a materialist, after his exhaustion and failures, he commits suicide, he thinks that this body belongs to me and I have any right to finish this body. Yeah. And that's why it's very sinful. It's exactly like if you're given a rented apartment and you're living in this rented apartment and you just make any mess in the apartment, you just put a bomb and you blow this apartment. And so you'll be prosecuted because it doesn't belong to you. But if it's your own house, you own it basically, And then you put scratches on the wall, you break your toilet, you break your kitchen. Who's going to question you? But this body, which is a rented place, you just cannot harm it. And that's why many times people even question, you know, okay, I understand meat eating is sinful because I kill an animal. But what is wrong with the alcohol? I'm not killing anyone. It's just fruits and some chemicals together, brewed together. No, because this apartment, this body, which is a rented apartment, you are misusing it. And that's why it is sinful. You are misusing it for its purpose. So suicide, when a materialist is committing suicide, he has this understanding very clearly that it's my body and I can treat the way I want. And that's why he suffers. There is a lot of sinful reaction in that. But for a devotee who leaves his body with pure, complete separation from Supreme Lord, for him the body belongs to the Supreme Lord and he has realized it. And it's not that he will go and hang himself from the fan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and leave his body. No. The separation itself separates the soul, which is forcing him to go towards the Supreme Lord, and it leaves the body. That's the separation we are talking about. You know, Atma, which is within the body, has such a magnetic force towards the Supreme Lord that it just cannot live in this body which is not giving him opportunity to that extent which the soul wants to be in contact with the Supreme Lord, his Lord and Master. So there is a major difference. The devotee is fully realized that his body belongs to the Supreme Lord, but his affection and attachment and love for the Supreme Lord forces the soul to just leave the body. So that's why it's not sinful. You know, you see that many, many great personalities, even if you see Srila Prabhupada towards the end of his life, they do no food, no water, fasting. So they basically, they just see that now they are at the end of their life, they just stop supporting all the facilities of the body, they just stop giving any necessary to the bodies, and they just want to exit. But that's not suicide. There is a difference. There is a difference of realization and understanding that one thinks I am the owner of the body and the other person very clearly thinks that this Supreme Lord is the owner of the body. So if Srila Prabhupada was thinking that I am the owner of the body, why was he sleeping 2 hours? He would have given more importance to the body, more rest to the body, more facilities to the body. Why traveling so intensely? We see so many. I'll literally tell you a real story of one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. He was he went for his morning walk in the park, and then he told his driver, who was also a devotee, that exactly after 1 hour, come and pick me at this spot. So the driver saw the time, a few minutes left, so he went to the spot and he signaled that Maharaj, come now. So his guru came and sat in the car and he saw the time and he became sick. Oh no. He said, Maharaj, you forgot something, what happened? He said, still 2 minutes left in 1 hour. 2 minutes left, so? He said, I can't take Krishna's body for granted. I should have given 1 hour exercise. Why did I waste 2 minutes? Why didn't I walk for 2 more minutes? And this devotee driver was thinking, what is this understanding? That I cannot take Krishna's body for granted, I should have given that much exercise. Can we think like that? It's hard. It's the bag, everything's gone. No care. Health is gone, everything's down. We just don't care for it. So, very important. The realizations are very different. It's a very thick realization that this completely belongs to Krishna. And we don't know. You know, what if the Supreme Lord itself is calling from within and the devotee has that approval of the Supreme Lord to quit the body? You are living in a house, that's the house, the owner, if the owner gives you permission, blow it up or break it, what is the problem? Who will prosecute you because the owner has given you the permission? If the Supreme Lord has given the permission to the soul to exit, it's not suicide on the same level, it's very different. Okay? Yes, ma'am?
So a couple of points. One is, I was saying that in the old days, people would say, like, what's the Vedavaka, what's the proof from the
Vedas?
Now it's like, what's the proof from science?
Yeah.
Same thing, like, because generally when we start talking with people, that the karma is pretty sick, pretty usually, like, science.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord Anirudha, he was the psychic movement of the mind, etc. But it's just inconceivable because like you see just in our devotee community there's so many like psychology and we can try to understand one people, we can try to act according to their nature. Or at the most we can act according to two people and try to manage, but then that God is in everyone, so we have to adjust the whole situation and try to give intelligence and it's so complex, and that's only like if you consider our congregation beyond our understanding, and
then
there's so many
jivas
and so complicated.
Yeah. I don't even like to go to congregation. I'm struggling with my own mind. So that's why Lord Ananda is too glorious. yes, you're right on how the standards are so different that previously if debates would happen, scriptures were the basis. You know, some authority is there and you speak on a subject matter, on a spiritual subject matter. But now, you just can't argue. It's just beyond. Just 4 days before I was talking to one boy, it took like 2 hours. And this guy just went on explaining one of the some religious philosophies he is practicing somewhere in India, popular. Around the world they're popular. I'll not name them, but they're popular. Like big following they have. And he went on and on and on. He spoke for quite some time. And then I just asked him one question. I said, where is it from? Which scripture is it from? You said so many things. Honestly, I'm telling you, suppose he told me 10 things. Not even one thing he could tell from which scripture. Not even one reference he had. And not him, whom he is quoting also doesn't have even one reference from scripture. And that's a philosophy which is guiding thousands and thousands around the world. This is on spiritual circles. Then what do we expect when we talk to people outside? Naturally, scripture has no basis at all. So, yeah, good point, thank you. Hare Krishna. Anantarashtra Bhagavatam Gita Srila Prabhupada Gita.